Throughout the ages, history has been altered by word of mouth and the misrepresentation of those who might not have been present when some of the world's most significant events took place. Channelers Barry and Connie Strom bring through the spirits of those who actually witnessed or took part in these historical events and lets them tell their stories in their own words. Welcome to Channeling History. And now, here are your hosts, Barry and Connie Strom.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to Channeling History. We're the only show where we speak to the souls that made things happen, and all our guests are on the other side. And we're brought to you every Sunday on the Pararex Radio Network. I'm Barry Strom, your host, and I'll be speaking the words of the spirit guests tonight.
I'm Connie Strom, your co-host. Barry and I would like to thank you for listening to our show. All of our shows are available on our YouTube channel in Barry's name and for download on Podomatic.com.
Now tonight, we're going to bring you a show dedicated to understanding death. It's our belief that the more of our listeners that understand the truth of death in the afterlife, the better the odds that they'll understand that passing from their incarnate life. That incarnate life is simply the beginning of another life plan. So, when you pass, you don't end the journey of your soul. There is so much more to do with your soul. So we hope that you'll understand much better after we're finished tonight.
We're going to begin by channeling the Archangel Azrael. Sometimes referred to as the Angel of Death, this angelic energy helps the soul through its time of passing and entrance into the realms of heaven. Our second spirit guest will be Sigmund Freud, the famous doctor and pioneer in the science of psychoanalysis. He was also an atheist and did not believe in the existence of a god or an afterlife. It will be interesting to see how he reacted to his passing and the realization that heaven is real. Our third guest will be Robin Williams, the beloved actor and comedian that took his own life following a diagnosis of a terminal and debilitating illness. He's agreed to speak with us about the aftermath of committing suicide and the resulting karma.
Okay, tonight I think we really need a disclaimer because you're going to be hearing some things that you haven't heard before. So the opinions, statements voiced on our show are the channeled words of the spirits, do not necessarily reflect our opinions, those of the Pararex Network, or of our sponsors. Now, we have over 400 videos available on our YouTube channel. It's in my name, Barry Strom. You'll find all of our channeling history shows there, as well as our other channelings from our other podcasts and shows.
Last week, we had a great interview with the spirits of Margaret Thatcher and Susan B. Anthony. They helped change the world with their pursuit of women's rights and equality. We found the show very interesting and informative. These were two truly incredible women. I admire them so much.
Okay, now when we begin channeling tonight, Connie will ask the questions, and once she asks the questions, I'll answer them in the words of the spirits. But before we channel, we always say a prayer of protection. Tonight's going to be no different. So, Connie, say the prayer, and we will begin to channel with our spirit guests.
God, please grant us your wisdom and protection. Grant us the knowledge that we can handle and keep us safe from all things that will harm us. Keep the messages positive and pure love. Keep us safe from our egos. We ask these things in the light of the seen, the unseen, and the honesty of God. Amen.
Okay, now we're not anticipating taking a break tonight because we have three guests and an hour can be a very short period of time. So, Connie, let's begin with the discussion questions.
Okay, Azrael, thank you so much for joining us this evening. You are the archangel who helps people pass over. What role do you play at a person's time of passing? Exactly how do you help them?
I try to make it as easy as possible. Many people have absolutely no idea what is going to happen at their time of passing. Death is something that most people fear. They think that it's the end. They've been told that if they didn't do certain things, that they would go to hell. It is a time of definite uncertainty for the soul. We want the passing to be as easy as possible. Once the soul changes the dimension from life, we want them to understand that there is much ahead, that it's nothing to fear. So either I try to help, I have some of my angels there. It's just, we simply do what we can to make death a good experience. Death is the beginning of another life pattern, and we want them to understand that.
Do you have anything else to add to defining death? Or is that basically it?
No. Death is when the soul passes from the incarnate body. The soul has everlasting life. When you decide to return as a human, you will have a certain period of time to live. You've had a life plan. You've made decisions onto whether you followed that life plan or not. You did many things. But when your physical heart stops beating, your soul leaves the body and enters the realms of heaven. That is what we refer to as death, or that's what you refer to as death. We simply refer to it as the beginning.
At death, does your soul simply change dimensions?
At death, your soul has the ability to enter the dimensions of heaven. There are multi-dimensions that you are not aware of that exist around you each day. At death, you simply gain the abilities to enter those other dimensions.
Azriel, is there ever a time that a person should fear death?
If a person has lived a truly evil life, they know that they have to face judgment. If a person has harmed others in terrible ways, such as Hitler or some of the very evil people, they should certainly fear death, because they should know that they will have to face the karma for all the evil deeds that they performed during their lifetimes. Now, an average person, everyone does things that are considered against the commandments of God. That is part of learning. God forgives. God is very forgiving. Part of learning is understanding that you did wrong. You see, most people have nothing to fear. Everyone does something that's wrong in their lifetimes. Some people do more things than others. The more that you go against the simple wishes of God, the more you should understand that your time of judgment will be more difficult for you. One thing we try to do is for a human to understand that heaven is a very magnificent place. Your soul has been there since creation. It comes back, it serves lifetimes, it does many things. If you've lived a normal life, don't fear. You have nothing to fear. Your guides will point out what you did wrong, but in all probability, there will be no negative actions taken against you. If, for instance, you've accumulated great wealth and have not used any of that wealth to help others, then you are going to be judged for what you've done. Now, that judgment does certainly not mean that you'll go to a burning hell, because there is no such thing. It's possible that you can be sent to a lower level, or in all probability, what will happen is when you prepare a life plan for your next reincarnation, you will pay back the karma. You will probably live a life of poverty. You will do things that you did, you will do things, but you will not have the great wealth that you had because you squandered it. When you squander great wealth, you're going against God's wishes. It is only through the blessings of God that people can accumulate such wealth, and they have to understand the reason that they were given that blessing, and that is to help others with it.
What happens when an atheist dies?
When an atheist dies, he is escorted to his guides. Now, they are generally in great shock because they felt that when they passed, they were facing the end. They immediately understand that they're not facing the end. They are facing a new beginning. Generally, their guides will point out that they failed this segment of their life plan by not believing in God. If an individual actively tries to lead others away from God, then in all probability they will be reduced to a lower level. Perhaps if they were in like the fifth level, for example, they may be sent to the fourth. And then they will have to live multiple lifetimes in order to regain the status that they had before their lifetime as an atheist. If they simply didn't understand, or if they simply were not convinced and did not do a lot of harm to other individuals, it is something that they will pay in a future karma, but it is not probable that they would be sent to lower levels.
Do you try to prepare a person for death?
We do that. When a person is approaching the end of their life plan, we will come to them in their dreams, we will try to speak with them, and we'll try to prepare them for what is to come. We will do as much as we can to prepare an individual. If an individual does not believe in God, we will simply allow them to approach your time of passing on their own.
What would you tell an atheist that is approaching their time of passing?
I would tell them, first of all, that it's never too late to believe. If you enter the realms and believe that it will be a wonderful place, then it will be much better for you. It's never too late to believe in God, but when you pass, or when you're approaching your time of passing, you cannot cleanse a lifetime of not believing. So I would tell them to understand that their belief is wrong. I would tell them to pray for guidance in their final hours or days. It's never too late to believe in God.
Okay. One of our listeners would like to know, is being an atheist part of a life plan?
It can be part of a life plan. But it is never part of a life plan where non-belief leads to leading others away from God. It is more probable that agnosticism would be included in a life plan. Then the individual has the ability to make its own decision on belief and how they treat that belief. It's very rare that an individual would be sent back not believe with a life plan where they were to be an atheist.
Is it possible for an atheist to be saved by confessing their sins prior to passing?
The word saved is a loaded word. religions preach that if you did a final resolution, your soul would be saved. You're judged for the entirety of your life plan. If you understand that true and truly believe that God exists at the end of your life, it can make it easier for your guides to decide what they will do when you return. The fact that you did understand God at the end can help reduce the karma that you would be asked for your future lives.
Asriel, would you explain what exactly happens in a near-death experience?
Many life plans have got different points in it in which the soul can pass. If the soul still has much to do and an event takes place where it has a physical passing, the guides have the ability to send that soul back, to have the soul go back into the body, and to have the body continue with an incarnate life. A near-death experience takes place when that soul has much more to do.
Well, they haven't finished their to-do list. Why would a person have several possible times of death in their life plan?
It may be that they have had hurdles that become insurmountable. It may be that events took place that were not anticipated at the time of preparation of the life plan. It may be a sudden violence has taken place. It may be that there were many things for the soul to do, but it becomes impossible for whatever reason. And it is better for that soul to return to heaven and to have a new life plan so that they can accomplish what they have to do.
Okay, there are times that we're with individuals that are approaching their time of passing as humans. What would you suggest that we say to a person that is approaching the end of their life?
First of all, tell them that they have nothing to fear. Tell them that God is real. Tell them that they're going to a magnificent place. Tell them that all of their pain and suffering will end upon their passing. Tell them that their soul has everlasting life. Tell them that they will go to this wonderful place, that they will see they will be reunited with their family members that have gone before them. And just basically tell them that they have nothing to fear.
Okay, you had mentioned about people who have accumulated great wealth and done little with it or nothing to help others, and that they are going to have a karma to repay. Can such a person avoid that karma by simply not reincarnating?
They can do that, but their guides will take it into consideration, and they will send them to a lower level than they otherwise would have sent them. The way of things requires that an individual returns and pays the karma for the events from what they did in their lives. A person with great wealth has been given great blessings. It is important that that person understands that they have not lived up to the expectations of God and that there will be repercussions for what they've done.
Asriel, we really appreciate your joining us this evening. Do you have a final message for us?
Yes. I want everyone to understand, very simply, that death is not to be feared. Now, if you've lived a terrible life, hurt many, for instance, many people are being sent to their death in Russia for no reason, you will pay the price for that. It may be if you send all these young boys to their deaths that you will have to live many lifetimes where you go to war and are killed at an early age so that you truly understand what you've done. Death is something that everyone faces. Death can be a wonderful thing. Death can be something that people actually look forward to. death can be basically what you make it. So thank you for allowing me to come through. Thank you for listening. And I hope that I've been able to help someone with my messages. Thank you. Thank you, Azrael. Okay, Connie, we have another wonderful guest with us, Sigmund Freud, the great doctor. So why don't we begin by asking him some questions?
Dr. Freud, thank you for joining us. It'd be a pleasure to have you. Were you a confirmed atheist?
I'm sorry to admit that I was. There were times that I did have some doubts about it. But my scientific and professional background prepared me to believe in what I could prove, in what I could see. I always thought that people that believe so strongly in something they could not see were deluding themselves. They are correct. The spirits are correct when they say that when you're an atheist, that you are left to make your own decisions. I never prayed for guidance. I never asked for guidance. So I made my own decisions spiritually. Because I did not pray and ask questions of God, I was never privileged to see the actual miracles or to see the energies that God truly possessed. It becomes a vicious circle. First, you don't believe. When you don't believe, you don't pray. When you don't pray, you don't get guidance. And when you don't get guidance, you don't become aware of the miracles that are taking place around you. In my time, we didn't have many of the tools, many of the understandings that you have today. I should have realized that God truly existed. I should have been able to look at a baby and think that and understand that from two cells we witnessed a true miracle. I guess that's a long answer, but yes, I did not believe in God in my incarnate life.
That's a perfect answer. You answered two questions in one. In life, did you try to convince others that there was no God?
I made statements that concluded there was no God. People listened to those statements and followed my advice.
How were you judged for leading those people away from God?
My guides judged me fairly harshly for that. I had done a lot of good in my life, even though I was truly an atheist. I helped many, many people. I laid foundations of education. I laid foundations of teaching. And I did a lot of pioneer work in the world of psychologies. Because of the fact that I did help others in so many ways, that was an offsetting factor. If I had simply preached against God and intentionally led people away from him, I would have been judged much more harshly. As it is, when I decide to return, there will be certain karmas that I have to repay. One possibility is that when I return, I may be a minister, and in that lifetime lead many people back to God. That's not exactly a karma, but it is more or less a result of what I did in this last lifetime.
Yeah. What did you think about the people that did believe in God and an afterlife?
I thought they had no proof. I thought that they were wrong. I thought that they were being deluded. I had read the Bible, and I realized that there were so many things in it that were impossible to take place. I thought that the Bible misled people. I did not understand the true impact of the Gospels. The people that thought that every word of the Bible was correct, I thought were highly deluded. I didn't realize that there was a middle ground, that the Gospels could simply be used as guidance, and that you did not have to rely on every word. There were many things that my scientific education and beliefs led me away from truly understanding what was taking place.
As you approached the end of your life, did you fear death?
I feared death for several reasons. I felt it was just simply the end and that all of my learning and education would end. I wished that my life could be extended so that I could teach and help more people. Now, in the end, that was positive for the guides. But as I did start to approach the time that I knew I would be leaving, I did have some doubts that I had done what I should be doing with my life. People would come to me, and they would try to have me confess sins, to believe in God. I did have several dreams in which I saw spirits and family members. Towards the end, when I saw those family members, I thought that, yes, maybe there is something to this. But it was too late for me to do anything.
So you, at the very end of your life, you did believe in a soul energy, that existed?
Not truly. I had doubts that what I believed might be wrong, but I never truly committed to the idea of a soul energy.
So what did you think would happen when you died?
I felt that it would just be the end.
What was it like when you died?
I was utterly shocked. All of a sudden, I was surrounded by my family members that had passed. I saw an angel, which I had a true belief that there was no way they could exist. I saw that everything was a brilliant color. I had trouble believing what was taking place around me. But I can assure you, it did not take me long to understand that I had truly erred in how I had lived my life and in my beliefs. It does not take long for you to understand that there truly is a heaven and a place that is very difficult to understand.
Were you given the choice to remain earthbound, or were you escorted to heaven?
I was escorted to heaven. You pass through these dimensions. Part of it was like passing through a tunnel for the dimensional change. My family members said, you must do this. You must come. The angel said, you've done things that you should not have done, but do not fear. All will be well. So they simply escorted me through this tunnel. When I came out, the grandeur was beyond belief. It was a truly amazing experience, and I would tell anyone listening that heaven is definitely real.
So what were you thinking as your soul passed from your body?
I thought that I made a vast mistake in living my life. I was shocked. You feel your soul energy can still feel these emotions, the uncertainties, the doubts. When I saw what was taking place, I truly regretted that I had made mistakes in making decisions. I thought that everything is different when you pass. So the time, forward and back, it's all of a sudden you're overwhelmed with all these events taking place. That's why there's a transition. But I did think about how it could have been had I believed in God and incorporated my teachings with his messages.
And how were you judged by your guides?
Well, as I said, the most important thing was that I had helped many, many people. People came to me with depression. They came to me with many medical problems. And I truly helped many. I also did not intentionally lead people away from believing in God. When they would mention it, I would usually try to change the subject for them. All in all, my guides were incredibly fair. They pointed out what I did good, and they pointed out what I did wrong.
Yeah. Now that you're on the other side, do you see any moral order in the universe?
Yes. I stated in life that I could see no moral order because I saw all the evil, all the things that were taking place. But when you're over here, you observe in much greater detail and understanding. God has created a galaxy of moral order. There are planets where people believe and practice every word of his teachings. There are planets where people, where cultures are very young, where people do not believe, where people are sent to learn. Earth is a very young culture. People are sent back to learn. How they learn their lessons determines where they will have their choices for future lives. There is so much going on that humans have no concept of. There is a strict moral order in the galaxy. There are cultures that reflect different degrees of understanding of God's preachings. You can select different places to go to learn. I am truly astonished at the moral order that really takes place, of which humans have absolutely no clue.
Yes. What would you tell anyone that does not believe in the afterlife?
I would tell them that they are making one of the biggest mistakes they can possibly make. The afterlife is incredibly real. If you open your mind and if you observe closely what is going around you, you can see evidence of afterlife. Once I came back, I realized that my family members had been trying to guide me into believing that there truly was an afterlife. I found out that many things that I had ignored was really evidence that there is a spirit world around you. I realized that often in dreams take place to give you a clue about really being an afterlife. Spirits come to you in dreams. That's the easiest way for them to communicate with you. I would tell people that they need to open their minds and look around them. Understand miracles when they see them. The fact that you are hearing me speak tonight is a miracle. The veil of life is becoming thinner, and more events are taking place that people can observe and understand what is going on around them. I know many people look down at paranormal investigators, but they are proving the fact that they can do spirit communication. Don't be quick to laugh at individuals that are different in their understandings and belief about the other side. You may find that they know a lot more about it than you do.
Sir, when you reincarnate, what karma will you have to pay?
I am going to have to help others believe in God. I did guide some people away from the proper belief structure. As I said earlier, in all probability, I may have to return as a minister and make an active role in bringing people to God. That is one way that I can make up for the mistakes that I did in this lifetime.
Are you thinking about reincarnating anytime soon?
Yes. My guides have approached me about making up a life plan and coming back. There's so much evil in the world today that it needs individuals willing to devote their lives to spreading the words of God. I think that is something truly that I will do in my next lifetime. I may try to combine a medical career with helping others. I may be a missionary. It will take me a couple lifetimes to make up for the problems, but I really did try to help as many people as possible.
Yes, you did. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Freud. Do you have a final message for us?
Yes. Do not let education lead you away from God. Do not believe that the so-called facts of science prove that God does not exist. The first thing you will realize upon passing is that there is an afterlife and there is a real God. Look around you and understand that much of the things that take place could not have been begun without God. The planet Earth is an incredibly beautiful place. That beauty is meant to compensate for many of the difficulties that a soul has to put up with when they become human. Humans are very violent. They're very angry. They do many things to harm others. Earth is a place of learning, but Earth is also a place of great beauty. Protect the planet. God created all the beauty that is around you, and part of the terrible things that humans are doing is they are destroying that planet. Once you destroy the life, all of the things that support human life, there will no longer be human life. He's also given humans weapons of mass destruction. People need to elect governments that eliminate those weapons. No country should have the right or the ability to wipe all life off of the planet. And there are countries today that are capable of doing that. I am sorry that I did not believe in God. I did not have any true regrets in life. But as soon as I entered the other side, I totally realized that much of my belief structure was in error. I could have done great good if I had combined a belief in God with my medical practice and teachings. So just follow the words that you're hearing and believe, and you will have no need to fear passing. So thank you for allowing me to speak today.
And thank you for joining us. You had a very good message. Next, we have Robin Williams. Robin has gave a lot of people a lot of laughs through their life, myself included. And I'm so happy to have him here again. Robin, welcome.
Thank you, Connie. Well, I'm back. I guess there's no other way to describe it. I know I had doubts, but here I am. So feel free to ask questions.
We appreciate it. Robin, in life, did you believe in God and an afterlife?
I did, and I didn't. I wish that I did more and didn't less. But I was so busy trying to be a successful entertainer. I had many, many problems in my life. I often asked God why he allowed me to feel such depression. And I never got an answer. When I got back here, I realized I wasn't supposed to have an answer, that was something I was to work out for myself. But I did believe in ghosts. I saw spirits at times. I had very vivid dreams. I felt often that my abilities and vivid dreams led to much of my depressions. I should have just simply realized that it was something that needed to be solved. So there's a long answer for a short question.
That's okay. You have a big fan in our chat room here, and he has a question for you. Does humor exclusively come from the human mind, or does any of it flow from the other side?
It's a combination. The ability to be humorous is a gift. It's a blessing. Sometimes you think that you're an ass, and sometimes you really are an ass, but sometimes asses are funny. It's a combination. Sometimes people do it as an escape mechanism to gain attention. Sometimes they're insecure, and humor is a way for them to get attention. But generally, it's a gift.
Okay. Yours was quite great. Would you tell us about your illness?
Well, for most of my life, I suffered from depression, and that did affect me greatly in some of the things that I did. I was diagnosed with a very serious illness. It was going to have very serious dementia. I was going to die shaking, and I wouldn't even remember it. It was the worst day of my life when my doctors told me what was going to take place. It threw me in such a deep depression that I decided that I couldn't face it. So it was truly a terrible illness.
Robin, was that illness part of your life plan?
Yes. When I came back, I found out that it was part of the final test of my life. Sadly, I failed it greatly.
Okay. What, in the end, made you go through with taking your own life?
I was so deeply depressed. I did not want my family to have to go through taking care of me. I did not want to have an illness where I wouldn't even be aware that I died. I saw how other people with the illness suffered, and with the depression that had bothered me all my life, I just simply couldn't face it, and I didn't want to put my family through the suffering as well.
At that time, did you have any understanding of the consequences of suicide?
No, I was eaten up with depression. I thought that I would be doing my family a favor if I took my life and ended it so that they did not have to go through the care. I was totally mistaken. I did not realize the true consequences of what I was causing, the grief, that I would set an example for others to take their lives. I truly did not understand the consequences.
Okay. What happened when you died?
When I died, my family members were waiting for me. As I was dying, I was enveloped in darkness. When my heart stopped, I was enveloped in this light. There were angels there. Colors were vivid. All of a sudden, I was floating out of my body, and I looked at my dead body hanging there, and I said, "Oh my God, what have I done?" I immediately knew that I'd made a mistake, but some things cannot be redone, and trust me, hanging yourself is one of them.
Yes, as we've said before, you were loved by many. Before you took your life, did you have any idea about the grief that you would cause around the world?
Absolutely not. I knew that I had a fan base, but I never, ever understood just how much grief I would cause by killing myself. In my depths of depression, I actually thought that I would be doing my family a favor. It was so different than that. Yeah. I had to watch the grief that I caused. When you commit suicide, one of the things that you have to do is watch the grief. And it was overwhelming. It affected me so greatly over here that when you first asked me to come years ago to speak, I didn't even want to speak, even want to talk about it. Souls maintain emotions both when they are both in body and when they are simply an energy. I was so sorry for what I did. I could not believe that I truly took that final step. My guides tried to help me and console me, but they still made me watch. Watching that grief was indescribable.
Yeah, Robin, we have a question from one of our listeners. Do the people who pass over miss the people they have left here, like the people they left here are missing them?
Absolutely. Love never dies. Love is the same on both sides of the veil. When you're over here, you miss those that you've left behind. But when you're over here, you're also with those that have passed before you. So it is like an offset. You still love those. You come back, you watch over them, you try to guide if possible, you try to do things, you try to come to them in their dreams. Love never ends. Love is the ultimate emotion. When Jesus speaks, he speaks of showing love to everyone. I can assure you that I felt love for every one of those grieving fans. You cannot imagine the grief that that brought upon my soul. It has taken me time in a place where there is no time. But as time passes on earth, grief passes as well. But love never dies.
Yeah. One more question from a listener. Would you consider humor a carrier wave of healing energy?
Humor can be both. There can be nasty humor where you actually abuse people with that humor. I always tried to make people just simply laugh. I know that when I laughed, my depression would be diminished. I wanted to have people laugh. I wanted to make them happy. Everyone has some amount of depression. There are things that disappoint them. There are things that make them sad. All humans suffer grief. They have to learn to control that grief. Time and laughter can have incredibly positive benefits.
Yeah. Who greeted you when you passed over?
Many of my family members. There were actually people there that I'd never met before. I had achieved some fame in life, and my family members were telling me how proud they were of me. They did their best, but as I said, I had to watch the grief that I caused.
Yeah. So what did your guides tell you?
My guides told me that I had done a fairly good job of fighting my own depression and helping others. They said that I had helped millions of people to laugh and to feel better, that I had done many of the things, that I had exceeded many of the goals of my life plan, but that I was to have a final suffering before passing. They said that the fact that I was forecast to have dementia would have made it easier for the Parkinson's. I could not handle that information. So I failed the final and greatest test of my life.
Okay, as we've been discussing, you suffered from depression in spite of all the humor and laughter that you brought to others. Robin, what advice would you give to individuals suffering from chronic depression?
First of all, I'd suggest professional help. Many people will try to help you, but if they don't have deep depression, they just simply don't understand. Try to laugh. One of the most difficult things that can happen for you is trying to laugh when you're depressed. Distract yourself. Get out into the fresh air. Look at the beauty of Earth. Try to find a loving relationship. Speak with others. Talk of your depression. Do not keep it to yourself. The worst thing that a person with deep depression can do is keep it inside. I tried to make people laugh to end my depression. Meet with others. Speak with other people suffering depressed. There are many things that you can do to help. Do not let it defeat you.
Yeah. What would you say is the greatest help for people with depression?
I believe laughter. If you are laughing at something, you are not thinking about what is depressing you. You need to force yourself to get into situations where you interact with people that will cheer you up, that will make you laugh, that will truly try to help you. And be around people that love you. If you do that, you will have a chance.
Yeah. What karma will you have to pay in your next life?
I will have to repeat the lesson at the end of my next life. I've already paid by watching the grief. But when I return with a new life plan, I will still have to end it with a serious illness.
What would you say was the greatest penalty for anyone taking their own life?
By far, it's watching the grief that you cause. Yeah. You never think about that. But when you're on this side, you can see it all. You can understand all. And you understand the impact of your actions.
What would you tell someone who's contemplating suicide? Not just depressed, but they're considering taking their own life.
Never, ever, under any circumstances, take your own life. When you do that, you are going counter to your life plan. You are creating a situation where those you leave behind are suffering immense grief. Everyone that loves you, everyone that knows you, everyone is grieving, and they're asking, how could he do that? The simple answer to that is, don't do that.
Are you thinking about reincarnating anytime soon?
Not in the near future. I think that my life had highs and lows, and I'm just not ready to come back and face that again.
Okay. Initially, you were a bit reluctant to channel with us. Why did you change your mind? How did we succeed in that?
Well, I didn't want to do it. I still find it hard to talk of what I did and all the grief that I caused. And when you asked me the first time, the guides were right. I did not want to come forward. But then all of a sudden, here comes this guy in a robe and a beard, and he says, Robin, I would really appreciate it if you helped others with this. And let me tell you, when Jesus asks you to do something, you do it.
Thank you so much for joining us again today, Robin. We love you. Do you have a final message for our listeners?
Yes. Live a good life. Laugh, love, be happy. If you're depressed, get help. Don't let it drag you down. You must beat the depression. I suffered with it all my life. I tried to hide from it. I asked other people to help me. They tried. I hid it from others. When you hide depression, you are hiding the greatest problem in your life. Follow the simple words of God. Love, lead others, be good, don't hurt people, don't show anger. Just simply live a good life. That's truly all you need. So thank you for allowing me to come back. I never thought I'd say this, but if you ask, I will return again.
Ah, thank you. I was waiting to hear that.
Okay, Robin, thanks so much. Your messages are always great. Next week, we're going to be discussing the future of organized religions. We're going to be channeling the spirit of Martin Luther, the Prophet Muhammad, and St. Francis of Assisi. Now, if that's not a group to get your attention, I'm not sure what is. Tuesday mornings, 9 o'clock Pacific time, Connie and I bring you a new show on the Voice America Variety Radio Network. It's entitled Spirit Speak, Exploring the Afterlife. Please join us. I think you'll enjoy it. We cover a lot of the subjects that we speak of here, only in different detail. You can submit questions or suggestions for future shows to our email, channelinghistoryonparax@gmail.com. I hope you enjoyed our show tonight. I know I did. Those three guests are absolutely wonderful to speak with. Great energies, great love. So, I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for listening. Please join us at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Sundays on the Parax Radio Network.
And I would also like to thank all of you for joining us. We absolutely love doing this show because we love interacting with all of these wonderful spirits. So anyway, we wish you all a wonderful week. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening to Channeling History. Tune in again next week for another electrifying episode, as we never know who will make an appearance or who will come through the portal. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2020. Our story begins by Kevin MacLeod, licensed through Incompetech.com.